This is In the News for June 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today from the New Standard News at newstandardnews.net, written by Kerry Leiterson, chlorine plants hidden culprits in mercury contamination. This is dated June 6th. Environmental groups have set their sights on a little-known target, a handful of chlorine plants that may be releasing more mercury than all of the nation's 500 coal-burning plants combined. Though most of the chlorine industry has switched to mercury-free technology, a few remaining chlor-alkali plants use a century-old method to produce chlorine by pumping salt water through mercury cells. According to a 2005 analysis of Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, data by the environmental group Oceana, the nine chlor-alkali plants in operation in 2000 reported purchasing and ostensibly using 79 tons of mercury and releasing 14 tons. The other 65 tons could not be accounted for. The industry and the EPA have speculated that the lost mercury may be caught in the infrastructure inside the facilities, but EPA analysis of contamination at closed plants have not found nearly enough to account for the discrepancy between the mercury consumption and emission. Jackie Savitz, director of the Stop Seafood Contamination Campaign of Oceana, said, quote, "It may be going out in the air. It may be going out in waste material that isn't accounted for. They would like to say it's hiding in the pipes, but they haven't really been able to prove that," end quote. Since Oceana's analysis of nine plants, one is shut down, another has announced imminent closure, and still another has said it will convert to the newer, cleaner technology at a cost of $90 million. Oceana and the Natural Resources Defense Council are pushing the chlorine industry and the EPA to force the remaining plants to account for the undocumented mercury and to switch to mercury-free technology used by 90% of the industry under a provision of the Clean Air Act that mandates companies use the best pollution control technology available in their industry. But in a final rule published in 2003, the EPA classified the mercury cell plants as a separate industry and exempted them from having to meet the standards set by the rest of the chlorine plants. In 2004, the Sierra Club and the NRDC petitioned the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. to review the rule and also petitioned the EPA to reconsider. The EPA granted their petition for reconsideration, and a decision on the rule is currently still pending. With enforcement from the EPA stalled for the past year, Oceana has been trying to directly pressure the companies to change their technology to ask the Chlorine Institute only to allow mercury-free members. Oceana has organized demonstrations outside the plants and delivered cans of tuna to the Chlorine Institute president during its annual meeting in Chicago in April. Commercially canned tuna nationwide has been found to have high levels of mercury. Calls to the companies that run the plants, Olin Corporation, Ashta or A-S-H-T-A Chemicals, ERCO, Pioneer Chlor Alkali, and PPG were not returned. The Chlorine Institute trade group, which also could not be reached for this story, has pointed out that the mercury cell plants have reduced their stated mercury emissions in recent years. But Savitz said the decrease in reported emissions does not make up for refusing to use updated technology that could curb pollution dramatically. She said, quote, "This technology is completely unnecessary," unquote. There's more on this at newstandardnews.net. Again, that's written by Kerry Leiterson. Next up, from the Environmental News Service at ens-newswire.com. The U.S. government sued for allowing imports of Peruvian mahogany. This is dated June 6th. Doubly illegal, mahogany from the Peruvian Amazon is being imported into the United States for the deluxe furniture under the noses of three federal agencies, according to a lawsuit filed today by two Peruvian indigenous groups and the Natural Resources Defense Council, or NRDC, a U.S. conservation organization. The suit was filed in the U.S. Court of International Trade in New York City. Nearly all of Peru's mahogany exports are logged illegally, the groups say. Importing it into the United States is illegal because it violates the U.S. Endangered Species Act and a major international treaty, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, the lawsuit charges. More than 80% of illegally logged Peruvian mahogany ends up in the United States. Ari Hershowitz, NRDC's Latin American Biogems Project director, said, quote, "Millions of dollars worth of Peruvian mahogany enters U.S. ports every year in violation of U.S. and international law. While U.S. border control agencies look the other way, the rainforests and the communities that depend on them to survive are being plundered," end quote. Named as defendants in the lawsuit are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of the Interior, the Department of Agriculture, and three U.S. importers, Bozovich Timber Products of Evergreen, Alabama, T. Baird International Corporation of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and TBM Hardwoods of Hanover, Pennsylvania. Logging in the Amazon threatens native communities, wildlife, and survival of the mahogany species itself, the NRDC says. At the current pace, experts predict that mahogany will be commercially extinct within a decade. There's much more on this at ens-newswire.com. And finally today, from the hotline section of High Country News, their latest issue, written by Brett Wilkerson. This is out of Oregon. Mountain lion numbers in Oregon have exploded, according to the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. Over the next 5 years, the agency plans to reduce them by as much as 40%. In March, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission approved a plan to use government hunters to reduce the current lion population to around 3,000, the estimated population in 1994, when the state's voters banned the use of dogs in sport hunting the big cats. Since then, says the department, the lion population has nearly doubled to approximately 5,000, and although it's been nearly 100 years since a lion attacked a human in Oregon, complaints about the animals have shot up. Like many other western states, Oregon has expanded its lion hunting season in recent years, but that has failed to reduce complaints or the toll of the predators' take on livestock and wildlife, says Ron Anglin, the department's Wildlife Division administrator. The recent spike in complaints is due not to an increase in lions, but to rapid human population growth in Oregon, says Lauren Nolfo Clements, a wildlife scientist with the Humane Society of the United States. Some wildlife biologists who reviewed the plan, including Professor Barry Noon of Colorado State University, say the agency's lion count is exaggerated because it relies on a scientifically dubious model and 40-year-old mortality data. Sally Mackler of the Sierra Club says, quote, "This plan is like shooting into the dark," end quote. The club is considering legal action to stop the killing, which could begin this fall. Again, that's from High Country News, written by Brett Wilkerson. This has been in the news for June 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.